Hey, Oasis Church Chicago, Pastor JP here. Hey, we're so glad that you're joining with us on our podcast today. I pray today that this message stirs your faith, that it builds you up, that it draws you closer to the Father's heart, and ultimately that you just feel the embrace of heaven. We would love to stay connected with you and you to stay connected with us. So please feel free to check us out on our website, oasischurchchicago.com, or download our app, Oasis Church Chicago. Also, you can be sure to join with us on our live stream on our YouTube page every Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Now here's today's message.
I'm excited as usual. My wife always freaks out because I don't get nervous. And I told her I don't get nervous. Like when I'm preparing to preach or go up and speak, I don't get nervous. But there is something that happens that I found out, well, I realized is strange about me. I begin to feel this huge weight. It's literally like, you know those like circle balls that have the handle on them in the gym. I don't know what it's called because I don't go often. But it's like one of those. It literally feels like someone puts one of those in my shirt. And so it's not a nervousness, but there's like a weightiness that like sits in my center that kind of like slows me down. I know I preach fast still and I talk a lot, but almost like the Lord is placing his hand on me. And so I'm feeling that in this moment. It doesn't make me uncomfortable, but it's when I know where it's like, hey, don't go up there without that weight. Don't go up there without me being a part of that. And so I want to open up as well because I feel like this word is something that can really, if we really receive it and we really take it home and chew on it, it can really impact us. And so I want to align our hearts and our minds and bring our thoughts captive as we go before the Lord. Lord, we just thank you. God, you are so awesome. God, you are so good. And Lord, you have desire for us to be in this house today. Lord, you have made a way. You have made provisions. And Lord God, we don't take it for granted, Lord, that we are able to openly declare your name, openly declare your word. And so, Lord, even in this time, Lord God, align our hearts with your will. Lord God, not just another message, not just another Sunday, but Lord God, we know you have instructed us to redeem the time for the days are evil. And Lord God, so as we have this liberty and this luxury, Lord God, to proclaim your word and to gather together and open, Lord God, we pray that your spirit communicate to us, Lord God, those deep things of the spirit. Lord, that we take advantage of every moment. Lord, use me in this time. Lord God, make those who hear this word, Lord God, align their hearts according to your plan for their lives. Let each and every person, Lord God, receive according to the measure that you have for them. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I was asked to preach about being lovers of his presence. And it's not often that I get like direction in what to preach or, you know, what to preach on. And then I don't give it titles. And so like lovers of his presence, I'm like, man, like I got a real assignment. Like I got to get in there if you're talking about being lovers of his presence. But God uses me in a way that I'm familiar. And so it will not flow in the normal sense of just talking about being lovers of his presence. I want to get into the word of God, one, and unpack that. Because that's a bold statement. I'm a lover of the presence of God. But am I, though? And I know, like, I'm not, like, I don't go looking for this. Like, I don't wake up like, how can I say something that's gonna sound deep? Like, no, like I literally look at it and I'm like, but am I that? Not you, me. And so this is for me. If you wanna join in, you can be here with me. In looking into the word of God, I came to find, as I looked at it in relation to being a lover of his presence, I found that that's literally what it's all about. Like from the beginning of the book to the end of the book, even now where we are, it's about God desiring to have us in his presence. It's our walk with God is all about us being present with God. He did not institute this so we can just be together with each other on Sunday. Or that we can walk apart from him and step into these times of experiencing him. But it was about the unbroken, constant presence of God walking with us. We see it from Genesis into Revelations. That's all it's about. And so I want to look at the word and unpack some of this to understand, well, when we say presence of God, what are we talking about? Because I know something comes to my mind when I hear love us of his presence. I'm thinking about worship, right? I'm like, man, the presence of God. Like, no, like, and not clowning worship at all. Like, just a few moments ago, like, we got in there. Like, I love those moments. When you get in there and you know you're standing before God, you know that the worship leaders have taken you into the presence of God in a different way, and you can feel God moving, you can feel God working, but that's not all of what the presence of God is. And if it's only during the times of a corporate worship in those settings, once we are up and we go back to our seats, then to our car, into our home, how do we facilitate that continual presence? I want to look at a scriptural understanding of the presence of God. And so God's omnipresence, and this is not all of it, this is not exhaustive. I'm going to give you a lot in a little bit of time. You should be used to this by now. So get out whatever you need to get out and just open up your heart and say, God, show it to me in the car. God's omnipresence, God's manifest presence, and God's abiding presence. We want to look at those three ways that we experience God's presence in the word, and we want to hone it in on where are we now in this dispensation and our experience of who God is, and bring it down and make it real. Because if I'm going to say I'm a lover of God's presence, and I'm going to make that bold declaration, I want it to be real. I want it to be true. I want to know what I'm looking for. I want to know what I'm putting out there about myself. So next slide, the omnipresence of God, Psalms 139 and 7. And I actually have this pulled up on my phone. I'm working on multiple devices. This is real. It gets real. Psalms 139 and 7. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there you shall lead me. This is the psalmist David basically saying, there's nowhere I can go that you are not. God is everywhere all the time. And I think that we understand that, but the omnipresence of God is accessible to all of creation. Save, unsaved, animate, inanimate objects. Everything in this earth was made by him and for him. And so God is everywhere all the time. That is one way we experience that omnipresence of God, which is absolutely a testimony to who he is. It reminds us of who he is. And listen, I'm telling you, I'm into a study. This launched me into a study of just the presence of God throughout the Bible, as it's referred to. And you see from the garden where God created this place where he's like, my presence is going to be there, and I'm going to be there with you guys, and I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. And when the garden, when we messed that up, right? The tabernacle, and then we messed that up, and then the temple, and then we messed that up. So he sent Jesus, and then we killed him. And so it was like the Holy Spirit. It's like all of these times over and over and over again, God's like, no, I want, like I'm trying to get in there. I'm trying to be present. I want to be present. I want to be with you. And so we read Acts 17:27-28. He is not far from us, for in him we live, move, and have our being. Guys, this is the general sense, the general understanding of a God of the universe, a God of everything, that we exist alongside him in real time at all times. And so that should give a believer comfort. That should make an unbeliever question, wow, what is that? Like, if he's everywhere all the time, then I can always experience him. There's never a time where we are apart from him. And we're going to move kind of quick, but I want to go to the manifest presence. Next slide. Genesis 3 and 8. It's referred to as the Shekinah glory, right? A manifestation, the physical manifestation where we interact with God. And so it's not just creation testifying, but there's an interaction. Genesis 3 and 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And I know I may be reading a different translation than what's up there, but I like doing that just so we can see it. Like, so we can see it all. Sometimes I read two translations at once. I'm weird. Don't judge me. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And so, yeah, we could go a lot of places with that as we talk about what we believe. So God was walking in the garden. They heard him walking. You can't mince that. You can't try to make that something. No, God was walking. They heard him and hid, which means they thought that eventually in his walking that he would reach them and see them. But that was the manifest presence of God in Adam and Eve in the beginning. We look at scripture, again, I'm not reading every single one of them, but Exodus 13, 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, led them the way, and by night, a pillar of fire, and gave them light. And so God manifested himself physically, cloud by day, fire by night, so that the people of God, one, would know that in his omnipresence, that he's everywhere all the time. In this moment, he's right here, right? Like that brings it in to a moment where it's like, if I follow this, if I watch where I'm going with this, I'm brought into the presence of God in such a way that it leads me, it guides me, it gives me understanding. Again, it gives me a hope of what I'm doing, of where I'm at. It's a check mark. And so even miracles are kind of that same thing. It's where heaven meets earth, and it's like, no, God is here. Like, he couldn't see, and now he can see. Nothing practically happened. Time didn't pass. It wasn't just a happenstance. It was God meeting us in this space. I'm trying. Appreciate you. And so it's important that we get this. It's important that we see throughout the word that God's presence with us is important to him. Because when you say lovers of his presence, it almost denotes something you're going to get, like something you're going after, not realizing that God is pursuing us. He is desperate for us to be in his presence. He's calling us like, no, like, get in here. Come in here. Like, we find it as a special moment when we enter in almost as if we got a sneak peek or something. And God is saying, no, like, I'm trying to lead you. I'm trying to walk up on you while you chilling, while you doing what you're doing. I'm trying to walk up on you. Do you hear me coming closer? Next slide, the abiding presence. This is what I believe, and I'll argue with you about it if you want to. This is what I believe. I believe in this time. I don't believe one experience is greater than the other, because I do believe in the continuum of God, where it's how he fully expressed himself all the time. But this, the manifest presence, Emmanuel, God with us, is where we are now, right? We're in an iteration of that now, where Jesus, Emmanuel, was literally like, okay, you don't get it. I'm coming there. Like, I'm coming to be there so you can see it. 1 John 4 and 12. No one's seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him, he in us, because he has given us his spirit. Now, that's we're going to get to that. But it's by this, we know if I'm a lover of his presence. Like, this is how I know God is who he said he is, because I experience him. Because his presence is here, not just experientially, not just in a moment, not just at a time or a feeling or a service or a word or an unction or a prophetic manifestation or a healing, but because his spirit is in me, there is an abiding presence that I always feel. It's like that humming sound. It's like that little humming sound that, you know, like when you turn your car on, you hear it start, and then it's that little sound where you know it's running. May not be going anywhere. You may be sitting idle, but you know it is running. When we receive Christ, it turns on. And I would argue that it can't be turned off. And I will argue again. I don't know why I'm ready to fight this morning. We can get into it. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God? And you are not your own. Like, what? Do you not know that your body, remember I explained that temple, those manifestations of the different ways where God was trying to get us to get the point. He's like, okay, now your body is the temple of God and you are not your own. Talk about presence. Think about the temple. Talk about presence. Think about Jesus. He's like, I'm only here to do the will of my Father. I don't know what you're talking. I can't not do anything but be about my Father's business. Church, we have that. We have that. I don't think we pay attention to it all the time. I want to get ahead of myself. I do. I'm sorry. I do. I think we're waiting on a miracle and not realizing we are the miracle. And I'm not trying to be profound. I'm understanding, what am I waiting on? If I am not my own and my body is the temple, then my awareness of God, my continual awareness of God should breed something that constantly invites the presence of God. I should be having interaction with the Holy Spirit all day long. And again, in my mind, I process it. Yes, like, yes, I do have interactions with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, God, how do I do this? And, oh, God, please don't let me do that. And this, like, no. The power of the Holy Spirit, that holy of holies, go back. Like, they couldn't go in there without risking death because it was that much power there. That is in you. Is that much power in us? And this is not one of those we are little gods messages. No. It's 2024. I got to say it. No. None of that new age foolishness, okay? We are not gods. He's God. He lives in us. And in fact, we're so not God. He said, it's no longer you that live. You don't exist. It's Christ that lives. Right? I'll just read exactly what I wrote. The awareness of the abiding presence of God in our life, in the life of a believer, aligns us with the power that works in us. So the awareness aligns us with the power. And again, I'm not talking about an external power. I'm not just talking about external manifestation. I'm talking about the power on the inside. The power on the inside. We can never lose the presence of God in us. Just listen, right? This is one of those moments where you just listen, because you're going to have to get that. You can never lose the presence of God that is in you. No matter how bad we fail, no matter the sin, we don't lose the Holy Spirit in us. And this is what I'm describing. But I've been praying. I've been asking. I've been seeking. I've been reading my Bible, and I don't feel it. It's almost like God is far away from me. You don't lose that power. You may not feel it in the moment. You may not see an outward manifestation, but it was declared that that power is in us. It's not you that lives. It is Christ that lives in you. It is not even your words. It is him speaking to himself. Again, God is, the cheat code is crazy. No. I'll give you the words. I'll give you the unction. I'll give you the power, and I'll handle the results. Now, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. My wife was laughing at me this morning because I was listening to Charles Spurgeon in the shower. That's what I do. That's what I do sometimes. His understanding of grief, because I wanted to know, what are the people saying? I'm going to read the word. I'm not going to just go take quotes. But I want to know what men of God who've walked and who've done this, what do they say? He said, grief is a perfect mixture of anger and love. Where the bitterness of anger is removed and the edge of anger is pointed towards the sin rather than the sinner. That is profound to me in the sense of that mixture of anger and love where that hurts. That's what grief is. Anger mixed with love minus bitterness focused right at the sin rather than the sinner. I was asked yesterday, literally, or it was brought up like, hey, I didn't want to tell you this because you would be disappointed. Or maybe you would judge me. And in my mind, I couldn't think of the word. It's like, it's not anger. It's not judging. And it's not upset with you or disappointed. It's grief. I grieved. I grieved in that moment where I'm not pointing it at you because it's not filled with bitterness or resentment towards you. There's a grief. And so we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can ignore the Holy Spirit. Again, we're talking about the presence of God. As we're lovers of his presence, are we ignoring him? Have we grieved him? Are we ignoring him? Have we just set it aside? Do we expect it only at those certain times where we're used to seeing it manifest in a greater way? And we get in and we get out and we think we've done what we were supposed to do. And I don't want to get too deep, but listen, even as I'm looking into worship is crazy. Worship is not us singing a song. You can sing a song to God and not know him. Worship literally denotes what you bow to, right? So Absolutely, you can sing a song and worship God, but you can sing a song and not worship God. It denotes what you bow to, what you follow, what you yield to. You know when you worship? You worship when you're scrolling through your phone and you come across that thing that no one else can see, no one else knows is there, and you choose to either bow to it or you bow to God. That's worship. That's the worship that pleases God's heart. And I'm telling you, when I'm realizing that, I'm more convicted. It's not about me sitting up here telling you about it. It's about what I'm doing about it on this end when you can't see me. It's about what's in my heart. I had a conversation. I've been doing a lot this week. I had a conversation with a brother yesterday. And I'm like, we would talk all the time, right? Every time we saw each other, we would have these conversations. But we both knew there was something sitting behind our calm and casual and friendly communication that was angst. There was some angst between us two. And finally, he was just like, man, I want to ask you something hard, right? We had to, it was a moment where God had come, he listened to the presence of God so much so where the conversation, it was a deep conversation that we're having about something, you know, with God, and everybody, we was all super saved in the moment. But literally God arrested the conversation and said, but come on, bring it back. There's something between you two. Like, you want to fix that or you just want to keep building the kingdom, destroying the works of the enemy? No, this is the work of the enemy between you two. That secret, that unspoken, the presence of God will pull that out of you. And at times, when you don't press into that still small voice, you begin to either, one, grieve the Holy Spirit because he don't care about your deepness. He cares about your holiness. He cares about your truthfulness. That's what he cares about. Hear me. Listen to what I'm saying. It's not about sitting up here and convicting you. I'm telling you, I'm coming from a place where I have to look at my own life in those times when you can't see me or you can't hear me or you may not know where the enemy is actually fighting me. It's too many of us for him to just walk in here and get on stage. He know he gonna lose. He's gonna wait till I'm by myself. He's gonna wait until it's that right moment. And that's when the presence of God matters. Psalms 22, 1 and 2. And I don't even think I have this in my notes. We can leave it on that Galatians 2 and 20. I see it. I'm going to end on that. I'm going to end on that note. Psalms 22, 1 and 2. And listen to this. David said it. Jesus quoted it to connect us back to the beginning because that God ain't never just doing a one-off. But this scripture hops out. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me in my word, so far from my words and my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, I am not silent. How many times have we felt that? We say we are lovers of his presence, but there are times when you feel, God, where are you? Like I heard him say, it's no longer I that live. I heard you say that he's in me. I don't feel it. It ain't working right. It's not giving spirit right now. It's not giving comfort. I'm uncomfortable. And we can sit with that, knowing the truth still, that what we feel is not what it is. What we feel isn't always what, because we read what David said. We even read when Jesus said it. But Jesus was not forsaken. David was not forsaken. That's how it felt. Because you keep reading the Psalms and you read them and read. David is always, he's always in there with God. Oh, that's it. I'm done. I'm dead. I'm done. Oh, thank you, God. For the deliverer of mine hath shown his way thee they though. Right? I like to read that version too sometime. Psalms 13, 1 and 3. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? Consider me, O Lord, Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I'm making light of it, but I'm telling you, there are some of us in this room, in that place right now. Like, God, I've prayed for that spouse. I've prayed for that son, that daughter. I've prayed for the deliverance from this thing, and it is tormenting me. How long, oh God? And God is right there with you. The it's a whole nother word, but we can talk about the refining process of God. We can talk about how God chastens those who he loves. We can sit on that because it'll make the uncomfortable understandable. Like, I get it. Okay, I gotta, not I am forsaken. No, what is this? What am I in? Not even all the time, what have I done? What am I in? Where is this place that I'm in, God? Because I assure you that the power of God has not left you. You are not a believer. The Spirit of God does not walk away from believers. It does not. He can't. Because you are a believer. Like that, by definition, you have the Spirit of God. It's in measure in the way we experience it. It's in different seasons in the way it can manifest to us at times. But the Holy Spirit does not leave you. Galatians 6, 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If we remind ourselves of that scripture in light of I'm a lover of the presence of God, no matter where we are, he is with us. No matter where we are, highs and lows, we know that the omnipresence of God is with us. We know that at any time, the manifest presence of God can be tangible with us. But we know the abiding presence of God is unfailing. That he's right there. And all the things that come along with that presence are right there. Acts 4 and 31, and I have none of these scriptures, but I want you to hear it. And when they had prayed in the place which they were gathered together, the place was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. If I have the Spirit of God, if I acknowledge the presence of God, I have boldness to speak. I have boldness to say, I know you see what it looks like, but it's not that. I have boldness to believe that word when my brother or my sister in the faith says, you just keep believing, you just keep trusting. You know, we get into that place sometimes where they'll tell you that, well, people will say that to you, and you're like, you don't know how many times I've heard this. You need to hear it again, obviously. You need to believe it again. You need to believe until the pain goes away. You need to believe until the situation changes. Because the worst feeling is when you're sitting on the other side of that terrible situation and you could have trusted God the whole time and you didn't. It's so often where I get to the other side of this immense worry and this terrible thing that I may even provoke onto myself, and I forget that the presence of God is sitting right there with me, speaking to me through not only creation, but everyone around me, encountering me during worship, waiting to show up, and I'm sitting there like, this is the end, I'm done, why hast thou forsaken me, Lord? That's it, and then God delivers, as he always does, because he will not deliver. Right? Even I'm seeing a lack of head nods in that, because it's like, no, but that one time, he will not deliver. Acts 1 and 8, but you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not like you might receive power, or there will be some really good things after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, or worship will feel a lot more comfortable. Guys, just get it. We will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And we shall be witnesses. So that power is going to provoke what? Just miracles? No. That power is going to, we just get gold dust to fall during worship? No, we're not just talking about a moment. You receive power and you will be witnesses to me. When power hits you, you will be unable to control how you talk to me, talk about me to everybody. You will be provoked to go out and declare the good news of God. Even in your pain, even in your lack, even in your perceived desperation for something, you will go out and declare the word of God. You will not be able to hold your tongue, and it will be with boldness that you speak. It will be with power that you speak. God has declared it. We cannot undo this. I'm going to ask Eric. Eric, just you come up. I don't know where Eric is. The light is in my face. I know they get on me because I don't know who to bring up when. I'm trying to learn. Hold with me. Because of course I want to pray for us. I want us to pray into this because I'm tired of following the lie of the enemy. I'm tired of waiting on the miracle. I'm tired of waiting on the manifestation when the word of God tells me it's in there already. John 15 and 26. But when the helper comes, guys, do you go read the word and see what God says about himself? Like, but when the helper comes, anybody needed help before? But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So you having trouble with your faith? Ask the helper who was sent from the Father. You said you would bear witness of him in my life. Number one, the fact that you're able to say that, that you're able to speak to him, bears witness. That in and of itself bears witness. But you said this. This is not something I cooked up on my own. I may feel this way. I'm not focused on my feeling right now. I'm focused on the truth. Align my body with truth. Align my desires with truth. Align this situation, God, with truth. This situation has no authority to walk outside of truth. If we allow these things to happen, it's happening around us. But God has said, no, that's not how it works. I'm going to give you one more, and then we're going to pray. Just a little music, and we're gonna allow God to work this into us. John 6:6 and 3. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are the Spirit and life. As we look at the word of God that was written for us, and we know that we have a God that is everywhere all the time, always accessible. You haven't reached this deep, dark corner to where God can't hear you anymore, because he's right there. He's right there. And even if you have grieved him, understand he's not mad at you. That's for somebody, whoever you are. He's not mad at you. He's not sitting around angry at you. He may be grieved knowing that whatever sin we've gotten ourselves into, or that thing that easily besets us, has called us away from him. And the grief that is in him is saying, just come back. Just acknowledge me. Know that I am right there. You don't have to go into a temple. You don't need to go wash first and ask the priest or do this lineup of things before you can come to me. I've been right here the whole time. And not only are you desperate for me, but I desire you. I gave you the desperation that you're feeling. Do you know that the Bible says that none of us want God, lest he gives us that desire? So even your desire for truth is not of you. It's from God. It's his communication to you. Conviction is not cooked up in our own selves. It is not us saying like, man, I'm just so tired of living this way. No, you're not. No, you're not. God is tired of it, and he is saying, I'm now going to give you the power to come to me. It may sound crazy to some of you what I'm saying, because that just sounds like a fixed fight. That just sounds like a fixed fight. We don't have to do nothing but come to him. Yes. Yes. Worship him. Yield to him. Submit yourself to him. Not just when it's in the open, but even in this message, in your own thoughts. God, find that space. God, where are the places that I let you into the house, but I closed off that room? Where are those places? I've been going through a lot this week, but I saw something yesterday. I want to leave you with this before we pray, and I'll let you go. I promise. But we had my nephew's birthday at our house, a birthday party at our house yesterday. And he's been having some trouble with different things, and we're praying for him. Pray for my nephew. Pray for Joshua. Say, Lord, give Joshua strength. Give him courage in Jesus' name. He's only nine, but Christians be going through. I'm telling you, nine. He is fighting a fight, okay? But I'm watching him as the party is happening. It's 40 people at the party. He's having the time of his life, smiling ear to ear. And then at one point, we sit around with the gifts. And this is the moment it's all about him. I was reminded of when I got saved, right? Everybody, that moment when it was all about you, like when you met God, you experienced God, and it was like, this is that moment you cried or you laughed or you were being baptized or whatever was happening. If it was at a funeral, you were broken and you understood, like, I want to go with you, God, wherever that is. But he was sitting at the kitchen table, and to his left was all of these gifts that he was brought for his day. Literally like 30 gifts, like just sprawling across the table. And it was that moment, and I'm realizing that when we come to Christ, that's kind of how it is, right? It's this monumental occasion where the presence of God is just evident and it's real and it's just so great. It's all about you. And so we started going through the gifts and opening gifts, and some of them were good and some of them were not so good. That's kind of how it is in the kingdom too. Like, I got to break up with them. I can't do that anymore. I can't go there. I can't listen to that. Like, I gotta be. And some of them are good, and then it's like, oh, well, now I have this, and it's the peace in my heart, and I don't feel ashamed anymore, and those hurts are healed, and these relationships are reconciled. And so you go through these gifts, and then you get that gift, like all of us, whether it's been a birthday or Christmas or whatever it is, you get that one gift that needs batteries. And you get that gift, and you get it in front of you, you're like, oh, yeah, like, that's the one. And you, like, are anticipating putting these batteries in because you have the gift, but without the batteries, it doesn't work the same. Like, it looks real nice. Like, this is fun. This is good stuff. But it's not the same without the batteries. And so you put the batteries in, and it's like, you're playing the game. You're doing whatever it is with the batteries. But what happens after time? The batteries die. The batteries wear down. What happens after we come to God and we receive that precious gift of the Holy Spirit? In that moment, we have this experience. We understand His presence. But eventually, something happens. And we, Lord, where are you now? You're not, it's not what they told me it would be. This cost is too much to bear. Right? And a lot of times, I'm telling you, I have four children. So there are times where because the batteries die, as a child, you don't know to just ask for new batteries. You think the toy is no good. Some of us think it's just no, well, the Holy Spirit, I'll wait till I get into worship. I'll wait till I talk to my friend. I need the prayer warriors to surround me. And I'm not condemning any of those things. You gotta have that number to call. You gotta have those relationships or that friend. But you had that gift that was given to you that the batteries have just died. And you set it aside as if it doesn't work. You put it off into the corner, you lost it. And it takes a parent to go find it and say, you remember this? And you're like, man, that was so cool. That was so awesome. I remember when I got that, and I remember how fun it was and how much I was able to use it and how impactful it was into the entire day. And I would submit to you now, as we go into this time of prayer, I would submit to you that it's the most important. If we are to be lovers of His presence, the very facilitator of His presence now where we are is His Spirit. It is the Spirit of God in us, living in us, working through us, that facilitates the abiding presence of God in our lives. And it is the power to overcome. It is the power to give us boldness. It is the power to give us peace. It is the helper. It is the redeeming. It is the thing. It is the evidence of our redemption, Scripture says. It is the seal of our redemption. Let's pray. Let's go before God. You can stay in your seats. You can stand. You can do what you need to do. Lord, you know. God, we don't. Lord, as we endeavor to be lovers of your presence, Lord, align our hearts rightly towards your word, towards your will, towards what your expectation is for us. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. We desire you, Lord, because you first came after us. You constantly pursue us. You are a lover of us. You loved us so much, Lord. You gave the thing that was most precious to you, Lord God, that was sinless, that was blameless, to die in exchange for our love back to you, to redeem us to you, to bring us back to that time in the garden before our communication was broken. Lord, we ask even now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you be stirred up in us. Give us the understanding and the awareness of who you are in us. In all those ways that we have grieved you personally, Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord God, forgive us, clean us, make us whole, make us right, put us in right standing, give us grace, open our minds. There are even some places that we've caused grief, that we've caused separation, that we've kept held separately from God. Lord, reveal those things to us. Hallelujah. As I'm praying, I know that there are several things coming to mind of those of us. Begin to put those things before the Lord now. Those places that God is revealing to you that has held you back from interacting with His presence that you may not have known. Some of those things that you do know, set them before Him. Lord, give us the power. Give us the grace. Release to us, oh God, everything we need to have victory in those spaces. And Lord God, even as you said, the Spirit of God will encourage in us a tenacity about ourselves to preach you. To preach you, Lord God, across the earth, Lord. And even in our own spheres of influence, Lord God, to preach you to ourselves in our time of trouble, to remind ourselves of your word, to give you to our children, Lord God, to give you to our friends, to our spouses, at our job, on our blocks, Lord God, to our city. Lord God, make it so, Lord God, that we are so responsive to the Holy Spirit that we don't miss an opportunity, Lord God, to pour out your love, to pour out your word. Lord, we thank you. We give you honor, Lord God. We give you all the glory, oh God. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for hearts that are yielded to you. Lord God, we ask to have it in an even greater measure in this end time. Lord, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.